This is Pastor Emery. In a series of broadcasts recently, I proved that the United States was founded as a Christian nation. In fact, America is the only nation of all history whose civil documents establishing government specifically mention Jesus Christ and the law of God. In addition, America is the nation most blessed of God, and it is the nation which prints and preaches more about Jesus Christ than all the rest of the nations combined. Is it possible that America is something more than just another nation? Is it possible America is the great nation prophesied as the fifth kingdom of Bible prophecy, the nation which would actually be the beginning of the kingdom of Christ upon the earth? Far-fetched, you say? Call a friend to listen, and let's see what the Bible says. Stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. I have spent several hours of radio time on America's Christian and Bible roots. Enough, I think, to convince even the most casual of Christians that the United States of America had a beginning unique among the nations. None other with such a beginning before or since, and none likely to be. America has also had a history unique among the nations. A wilderness continent in the 1500s, a tiny beginning of scattered Christians in the 1600s, a consolidation of all the scattered colonies into a single national entity in the 1700s, and a spectacular growth in the 1800s, spreading 3,000 miles to the Western Sea in exactly 70 years from her national beginning, so that by the time the 20th century came along, only the fourth generation from our Declaration of Independence, she was the most powerful, the richest, and the fastest growing nation in the world. The whole world looked with wonder and with awe at the new colossus in the West. By the middle of the 1900s, by 1945 to be exact, at the end of World War II, America's military and industrial power was such that we could have conquered the world had we so desired. What a story to marvel at, and yet 99 preachers out of every 100, although they claim to believe that God Almighty is sovereign over the earth, and they claim to believe that God foretold history before it came to pass, will turn around and tell their congregations, no, America is not in the Bible. There are no prophecies about the rise to wealth and grandeur of a nation on the continent in the West. God did not foretell America. Even though America is the undisputed center of the Christian religion, and even though America has more professing believers in Jesus Christ than any other nation, in fact, more than all nations, and more churches preaching Christ, and prints more literature, and broadcasts more radio and TV sermons on Christ than all the rest of the nations together, they still mumble. No, God didn't know about America. No, God didn't foretell America in His holy word. Well, how can that be? Did our fathers do something on this North American continent that God Almighty had neither planned nor foretold? Is it possible we are mocking God when we imply that human beings brought to pass this great and mighty Christian nation with neither the desire nor the foreknowledge of God? Well, you are listening to one preacher who believes that not only did God Almighty have an overruling hand in the origin and rise of the United States of America, but that this nation is foretold in prophecy after prophecy after prophecy in the Holy Bible. And we'll begin a Bible study on that in a few minutes. First, I'll give my address where you can write and get a packet of literature on this subject. I call it the New Jerusalem Packet. It is free and postpaid if you will write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the New Jerusalem Packet. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. I'll repeat my address at the end of the broadcast. All right, since I call this packet the New Jerusalem Packet, we'll begin with a study of Jerusalem, both the Old City and the New Jerusalem of Bible prophecy. And most of what you will hear on this and the next broadcast will be in print and in that New Jerusalem packet we'll send you when you write. Turn with me to the prophet Isaiah, to a very well-known prophecy among prophecy students. Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 3. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, and I'll interrupt here to remind you this is the time frame in which this would be fulfilled, the last days. Before we go on, let me state my understanding of these terms. Your minister may not agree. I believe the last days, the term used here, is that whole period between Christ's first advent and his second advent. So far, it has covered a period of over 1,900 years and is still continuing. So when you read the last days in Bible prophecy, it does not necessarily mean just a few days or a few years just before Christ's second advent. You'll see this clearer once you get into a deeper study of Bible prophecy, because many things prophesied for, quote, the last days, unquote, have already come to pass during this last 1,900 years. Others remain to be fulfilled. To try to put all prophesied end-time events off into the future to be fulfilled into a few years is to say that God Almighty did not give us any prophecies for the whole period between the two advents, and I believe he did. Anyway, Isaiah wrote, it shall come to pass in the last days, so whatever this event is to be, it would have to be after Christ's first advent and sometime before his second advent. Verse 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Something in relation to the Lord's house would be very great, and it would involve all nations, or the Hebrew word there is goy, G-O-Y. It is often translated people. So it could say, all peoples shall flow unto it. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. So this appears to be a voluntary going to this place called the house of the God of Jacob, and here is the reason. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God's word would be preached or proclaimed from something called Zion and something called Jerusalem. The next verse indicates the eventual status of this event would be what we would normally call the kingdom of Christ. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That has to be that time of Christ's kingdom or his rule over all the earth, at least verse 4. But it is possible that the events prophesied in verse 1 through 3 would come before verse 4 and the establishment of Christ's kingdom. In order to get our bearings on this, to see if part of this has already come to pass, or if it is all yet off in the future, we'll need to make a study of these two names, Zion and Jerusalem, and a study of some of the other prophets who gave prophecies about Jerusalem and about Zion. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. There is probably more confused preaching in recent years on this word or name Jerusalem than on any other name from the Scripture. Scripture such as Isaiah 2 and 3 is used by a great many Christian ministers to mean the literal city of Jerusalem in Old Palestine. They say that there God is going to restore his Israel people, and there he will set up his earthly kingdom from which Jewish missionaries will go out to preach the gospel all over the world, fulfilling this verse 4 of chapter 2. Other ministers teach from these same verses that this Jerusalem is a heavenly city located somewhere off up in heaven but not on the earth. One of the major sources of confusion in that preaching comes from those who are unable to separate historic biblical cities from prophetic cities of the Bible. They do fairly well on the city of Babylon, since the actual city is long destroyed and exists no more on the earth. So when Babylon is used in prophecy, they realize it must be something other than the old city or the old Babylonian Empire. Most do pretty well when they read of an Assyria in prophecy, such as in Isaiah 10. They know the old Assyrian Empire no longer exists, so they know the Isaiah 10 Assyria must be something different off in the future, something that might not be called Assyria when the prophecy comes to pass. The word or name Egypt is also used in prophecy. Again, it may not mean the old nation, partially because the people who rule and inhabit modern Egypt are not even the descendants of the ancient Egyptians. So prophetic Egypt could be something different than the old Egyptian empire or nation. In several places, we hear of cities, even the city of Jerusalem in one place, being called Sodom. But the name is a reference to the character of the city, not to the name of the city itself. In all of these, it is obvious that God Almighty, through his prophets, uses names of ancient cities or empires or nations to symbolize or signify something other than the actual old city or the old empire. And the name Jerusalem is used scores of times in Bible prophecy. However, because the little old city still exists and still carries its original name, many naturally assume this prophesied Jerusalem must either be the old city or at least have something to do with it. So, to clear up any misconceptions on the old city of Jerusalem, I want you to follow with me in the Holy Bible to see if we can find God's true meaning when he says, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Turn to the New Testament first, to Matthew 23. Jesus tells us the old city was to be left desolate. Matthew 23, verse 37 through 39. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Here Christ is speaking directly to the old city of Jerusalem, the city that had killed the Israel prophets all down through the centuries. And he said, "Jerusalem, your house is left unto you desolate." He could not have been speaking of prophetic or future Jerusalem, for that has a glorious future in prophecy. Let us read some scripture verses used by those who insist that the old city of Jerusalem will be the Jerusalem that will be chosen and blessed of God. Some are in the first chapter of Zechariah, verse 14 through 17. Here are some favorite phrases. "I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Those who quote these phrases say they mean that God will set up the temple, his house, at some future time in the old city of Jerusalem. But there are other phrases in the same verses which are usually skipped and not read by those ministers, and they should be considered. I will add them here in their context. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity or through good shall yet be spread abroad. And then comes, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Since the phrase spread abroad precedes the comforting of Zion and the choosing of Jerusalem, and since the prophet said it while he was in old Palestine, is it possible God Almighty meant this Jerusalem that would be chosen and this Zion that would be comforted was something someplace abroad other than old Palestine? Christ also gave some indication that the cities, and that's a plural term in Zechariah, the cities of Israel would be in great number and cover much territory. In Matthew 10 are Jesus' well-known instructions to his 12 disciples. In verse 6, he tells them to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then in verse 23, he says, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. Now the disciples could have gone over all the towns in old Palestine in a matter of weeks, and missionaries still could do so today. However, if the cities of Israel, or the cities of Jerusalem as they are called there, were to be spread abroad and to be a great number, the disciples could not have covered them quickly, neither could anyone today. We also must take into consideration that Zechariah, as a prophet to Israel, spoke not only to those in the Babylonian captivity, but to the millions of Israelites who were at his time in the Assyrian lands and never returned to Jerusalem or Palestine. Zechariah's prophecy on Jerusalem could not have been fulfilled in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah when they came from Babylon back to rebuild Jerusalem, because in both books of Ezra and Nehemiah, the number of people returning is less than 45,000. And yet, 500 years before that, David had 1.5 million soldiers. So this tiny number that returned from Babylon to Jerusalem could not possibly have fulfilled the prophecies we read in Zechariah. Also, what the Jerusalem is that the Lord, quote, shall yet choose, is made clearer by reading right on in the prophet Zechariah in the very next verses in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, and to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. End of verse 4. That is quite a description of Jerusalem. It will have towns, that's plural, without walls, and many men and cattle were to be in it. That is the Jerusalem of prophecy, and it is so large it took an angel to measure it. Perhaps this was because this Jerusalem was to be, quote, spread abroad as prophesied in the previous verses. Now, if you would like to get ahead of my story just a little, if you'll turn to the New Testament in Revelation 21, you will read a long, detailed prophecy about something called New Jerusalem, and you will find in that prophecy there is also an angel, and the angel measured the city. It's in Revelation 21 and verse 15. We'll cover that later in this study of Jerusalem. In chapter 8 of Zechariah, and Zechariah has much to say about prophetic Jerusalem, and you should read it all, we read in verse 2 and 3, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem." So God says he will be in both this Zion and Jerusalem, a Bible prophecy. And he goes on, "And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." So another descriptive title of the Jerusalem of prophecy would be the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. This is similar to what we read in Isaiah 2, and which is also in the fourth chapter of Micah, where it is called the mountain of the Lord, which in the last days was to be established in the top of the mountains, and all people would flow unto it. It will help you understand Bible prophecy if you know that the word mountain is often used for nation or large nation, and hill is used for small nation. You'll find this in Isaiah and also in the other prophets. Is it possible that Micah, Isaiah, Zechariah, and others are actually saying that prophetic Jerusalem would be, quote, the nation of the Lord? Then in verse 7 of Zechariah 8, we read, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And here's how he would be their God: in truth and in righteousness. If this is referring to the time of Israel's regathering, and God is saying that my people, meaning Israel, would be brought to this Jerusalem by him, and they would be his people in truth and in righteousness, is God saying they will be Christians at the time of their regathering? We'll have more on that later. Anyway, if we try to fit these prophecies into the little old land of Palestine, we are in trouble. It is just not large enough. As these scriptures show, the Lord will dwell there, Zion will be there, many people from the east country and the west country, a multitude of men and cattle will be there, and it, Jerusalem, will spread abroad and be so large that angels will have to measure it. And remember, we also read that many people would go up to that place asking to be taught God's Word. I have some statistics on the Jewish occupied area of Old Jerusalem and Palestine that will show it is not the size for such a multitude of people. Jerusalem, as it was set aside by the United Nations, has 289 square miles. It is about 20 miles long and 15 miles wide. That would be about one half the size of Phoenix, Arizona, and its suburbs, and other comparisons would be Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the suburbs, and about twice the size of Baltimore, Maryland. The entire country of Palestine, as established by the UN mandate, was 7,993 square miles. Since the so-called war in 1967 and later acquisitions, the area controlled by the Jews has increased substantially. But even if they took all of Lebanon and all of Jordan and all of Syria, they would still be smaller than one of the average American states. That is hardly fitting for a fulfillment of such an amazing prophecy as given in Zechariah. We'll cover more on the size of that whole country later, and during the next broadcast, God willing, we are going to talk about some specific prophecies about the old city of Jerusalem. Did you know that God Almighty made some very plain prophecies in the Old Testament that he would abandon the city of Jerusalem and would never return. Now, if you never heard that, you just tune in next time, and I'll go through that and show you chapter and verse in God's holy word. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Write me and ask for the New Jerusalem Packet. I will send you a booklet and other material which will include all of these Bible passages and many of the comments that you will hear on this and succeeding broadcasts about the Old Jerusalem and about the New Jerusalem. My address is America's Promise, Box 334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Just write and ask for that free packet of literature. And when you write, please print your name and address so our mailroom will be sure and get the material back to you. We do not want you to become angry at us because we did not read your name and address correctly and we sent it to the wrong place. My announcer will give my address in just a moment, and then would you listen for a moment longer for the radio station announcer to give the call letters of the station to which you are listening. When you write, also include in your letter the call letters of the station over which you hear America's Promise. I would appreciate that, and tune in again next week and tell your friends to listen when I return, God willing, with another study on the Old Jerusalem and the Jerusalem of Bible prophecy. Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.